Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, a place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, September 3rd, 2012. Happy Labor Day, everybody. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting the show tonight. And usually, my co-host is usually Charlie Klein, but unfortunately, Charlie's girlfriend is ill, and he is going to be visiting her in Ohio and assisting her. So he will not be joining us tonight, but we do wish all the best and keep him and his girlfriend in our prayers and hope that everything is okay. As I was mentioning, today is Labor Day. Hopefully everybody had a nice, safe, relaxing holiday. It was okay for me. I did actually work today, but not too much. It's always an easy day when you're working on Labor Day because half the people are gone, so that's always good. And the other thing, too, we're also getting very close to another important date, 9/11, the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks we had. So that's not too far around, and I was kind of thinking about that. Right now it's like we're celebrating a holiday, but it was not, the anniversary is not too far away as to what happened with the Twin Towers. So I was kind of thinking about that a little bit today, too. And I guess I was thinking about that probably more so because of some of the things happening at the DNC. I am so concerned about the future of our country. I really just don't know what to think of what's going to happen to it. And the evildoers, the evil actions that are being taken against us. And for those of you, as I name the show tonight, DNC is anti-America, anti-U.S. Constitution, and pro-Islam Sharia. They're actually having a two-hour, or they had a two-hour Islam Sharia Muslim prayer thing this morning for the DNC, and yet at the same time, apparently they rejected a Catholic priest, wouldn't let the Catholic priest say a prayer, lead a prayer at the convention. And you think about what this really means. We have a president that pretends to be a Christian, but he isn't. A president who pretends to be an American, but he isn't. And a government that, a complacent group of individuals in Washington, D.C., that pretend to be Americans, but aren't. They're Republicans and they're Democrats. There's no Americans in Washington, D.C. Otherwise, if they were truly Americans and true patriots, they would not allow this kind of stuff to go on. We've had different shows talking about Muslims, and can you be an American and a Muslim at the same time? And who knows, I'll probably get killed or shot at one day for having said it, but no, I don't think you can. The Islamic faith, as it is such, some call it a culture, some call it a faith, some call it whatever, and as it professes to be a religion, or Islam, in a society where you have the right to freedom of religion, you have the right to believe what you choose, you know, technically in a legal sense, yes, you have the right. However, the fact is, if you're going to be loyal to such a culture or faith or whatever you want to call it, you can't support the Constitution. So, in essence, you can't be an American and a Muslim at the same time. Because to be a Muslim and to believe in Sharia law, Sharia, which is law, Sharia, then you don't believe in the Constitution. So you can't do both. It's kind of like being an atheist and being a Christian at the same time. You can't be an atheist and be a Christian at the same time. They're opposite of each other. How can you believe in God and not believe in God at the same time? That type of thing. So you really can't do both at the same time. But here, we've literally got the DNC, the Democratic National Committee / convention going on, where they are promoting Sharia. It's just so anti-American. And these people claim, they take an oath. They swear to uphold the Constitution. They claim to be Americans. They claim to be pro-American. But they're not. It's just despicable what it really is. And Tom Pastore is going to be joining us here in just a minute. In fact, I see him out there because he was the one who first brought this to my attention and just could not believe that nobody in the media was reporting this. It's all a grassroots citizen journalists who bring this out up to us. It's not mainstream media that does this. I read the article on westernjournalism.com. Westernjournalism.com. Islamists to open DNC with prayer for Sharia to replace U.S. Constitution. That's what the name of the article is. But let me go ahead and get Tom involved here. One other real quick announcement before I go there. Just to remind everybody, October 20th, Saturday, October 20th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., please plan on being in Tallahassee, Florida. Freedom from the UN rally. We are protesting and we are demanding that the state of Florida get out of Agenda 21 and give us freedom from the United Nations. We are a sovereign country. We are not part of the United Nations, and we should not be dictated to from that. So please, again, mark the date, October 20th, Saturday, October 20th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it's going to be on the lawn of the old Capitol building. And we'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. But on that note, let me get Tom involved here. Hey, Tom, how are you doing today?
How you doing, Sally? Nice to be on the show.
Thank you. Can you just imagine? You know, our country has been taken over by Sharia, and everybody seems to be okay with it. I don't get it.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a paranoia or a bunch of sheep that are just following this Obama character around, and they're just afraid to speak up. I for the life of me, you know, I just can't figure out what's going on, especially with the major media. You know, Muslims are not the ones that defend the freedom of speech exercise that the media does on a daily basis. It's American citizens. Yet the mass media has refused to report this story in any way, shape, or form. I first picked up on it. Somebody sent it to me, and I checked on it. I believe one of the first places it came out is a well-known site called The Blaze. And then I checked a few more other sites. I keyworded various ways to hope maybe I could see something from the New York Times or the Washington Post. Nobody, not even Fox Network, had it on their site. At least I didn't see it. You know, nobody of the major media is reporting this. I don't know if Hannity or Rush Limbaugh have spoken about this. I don't necessarily listen to their shows. Excuse me. But why isn't this a major, major story? Why do we have to have Muslims at a Democratic convention, at any American convention for that matter? There is no relationship there whatsoever. People may want to deny our history and deny the reality of the creation of America, but we have a Judeo-Christian foundation. There's no shame in saying that. And I'm not going to sit here and start debating the separation of church and state. That's not in the Constitution. That was the judge's legal interpretation when a decision made years back. Everybody hung their hat on that. Now they say that, though it's not in the Constitution. There's nothing in there that says separation of church and state. But be that as it may, because that's a discussion in itself, because they invited these Muslims there, and now this has been reported constantly throughout different news channels, 20,000 Muslims are presently in Charlotte praying and praising the Democratic Convention. This reminds me of what's going on with Egypt, when the Muslim Brotherhood showed up there, and now the president of Egypt is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. These people are getting their fingers into our processes. And before you know it, thanks to Obama, because he's got many of them already in his administration, before you know it, they're going to be elected into office. And the weak sheep and cattle that are both Democrats and Republicans will sit there in silence and not protest this. And as you stated earlier in your opening statements, there is no connection, no comparable relationship whatsoever to Sharia law and our Constitution. They actually defy each other. And we have to make a decision in this country. We want to stay American, or do we want to bend over and be raped by the Muslim Brotherhood and the likes of them who dictate what you do, what you think, what you dress, what you say, what you believe in. Their religion, as people call it, and I don't believe it's a religion, because it dictates your lifestyle. Religions are not supposed to dictate your everyday lifestyle. That's supposed to be a private and personal belief amongst the family or the individual. Islam dictates, because many governments throughout the Muslim countries, many governments use Sharia law for their government practices, for their formats. And that's how they rule and dictate. Muslims do not practice a religion. In my belief, this is a cult. Because if you deny the cult, you get killed or you disappear. This is the reality of it. I don't see that happening with any other religion, only with the Muslims. And if I'm going to say, I don't want nobody to throw stuff like diversity and tolerance, that's garbage, because this so-called cult or religion, for purposes of our conversation right now, denies diversity, ignores tolerance. And there's evidence of it now. And let's go back to Egypt for a minute. The president of Egypt now, and we'll say duly elected, who knows, is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. What's going on there now? Another major international but underreported story by the mass media is that if you defy this president of Egypt, you will be crucified. And these stories are coming out all over. If you have another religion, and there's several minority Christian religions still in Egypt, one of them is called the Coptic Christians. If you deny the rule of this president with the force of the Muslim Brotherhood behind him, they will literally, people, not figuratively, but literally crucify you to a cross. It's been reported already. Yet there's no uproar from the UN. There's no uproar from the United States. There's no uproar from anywhere. I mean, this is despicable. So why should we tolerate Muslims integrating with our American conventions? And I don't care if you like Democrats, Republicans, whatever. Why are we allowing them to integrate in there? Because if they want to use the word separating the church and state, what is Muslims doing totally integrating into a Democratic convention? They have no political outlets. They believe in one thing, in the Sharia law. So what are they doing at a Democratic convention? America has to wake up. And I said this when I put out my email, and I said to many media throughout the country I sent this to, I said, you people are going to have to wake up soon and decide. It's either Obama, because none of this would have happened if it wasn't for him, and it's either Obama or America. And that's the reality of it. People have to get their act together. I am not talking about Romney's policies or Obama's policies. That is not the issue here. The issue here is that Obama, in my opinion, is destructive to the survival of this country if we want to stay a democratic nation or democratic republic, if you will. We have to view what's going on now, this underreported story about 20,000 Muslims attending in one shape or form or another the Democratic Convention. And why are we allowing this? This is an aberration of our Constitution. And our forefathers must be spinning in their graves. America has to start standing up. Stop being the weak cowards that you are. Forget the idiotic tea parties. Because if you want to be a real Tea Party participant, then you're going to toss that tea, you're going to toss the disease that's infecting this country into the ocean and send it back to whence it came. That's a real Tea Party, not somebody who's going to sit down with the evildoers who've created the disaster that America is now suffering. And that's either Republicans, Democrats, whatever you want to call them. And by the way, Mother Nature shows how redundant and equally disgusting both conventions are, because Hurricane Isaac is now raining down in Charlotte, just like it did in Tampa. And that's the irony of it. Only Mother Nature knows to show that they're both despicable and they should be rained upon. And that's exactly what's going on today. Today, a Hurricane Isaac, believe it or not, made a nice right turn and is raining down on Charlotte, just like it impacted to a degree Tampa. And so there's an equal notification that both of them are disgusting and need to be washed away from the shores of America. But, you know, I know I'm on my soapbox here, but I'm extremely, extremely angry and upset that the mass media that we have protected, I myself as a Vietnam veteran and many other veterans, you know, and if you look across the fields of our National Arlington Cemetery, and this is not drama, this is reality. These are the people that have protected America's mass media, preserve their rights to free speech, and this is what we get in return. They ignore the very essence and survival of America and remain silent, just like the Germans remained silent and was brought out in the Nuremberg trials. Just like that. There's no difference, in my opinion. They're going to eventually, when the reality of this all comes forth and we realize we have to stand up and protect our country, all the mass media is going to say, well, we were just following orders. They're going to use the Nuremberg syndrome and say, well, we were just doing what we were told to do. And that's the reality of it all. I guarantee you this is history is going to repeat itself again because the human creature is just not civilized to learn from its past mistakes.
And that is so true. And there's two things here that I definitely want to get your thoughts on. excuse me. First off, the news media, the Freedom of the Press routine, which was supposed to be this massive watchdog for the people. This was supposed to give them the right to get information, to have access, to find out what was going on and to report stuff. They were supposed to be the watchdogs, but they, to me, now are in such collusion with the government that they are, in essence, a link of the government. They're truly not Freedom of the Press anymore. They're a link of the government. Or the news media, which is all a link of the, or I should say the television, the crap they pull with this collusion between the government, the media, the news reporting, whatever. And then the other part is at what point do we start saying, you know, these other people who are in office today are guilty of treason? They claim to be Americans. But again, as I said, you know, in Washington, D.C., you have Republicans and you have Democrats. You don't have any Americans. But they are sworn in as public servants to uphold this Constitution, and yet they just totally disregard it. When do we say it's treason to disregard the Constitution as they are doing it and this type of thing? At what point do we finally say the T word and start, you know, going after these people for treason? And that's the other part, you know, we have the complaint we filed against Congress, and so many Americans are out there are so afraid to go after Congress, so afraid. Like, when are Americans going to grow a backbone? We're out there fighting and defending the world, yet we won't even cover our own ass, if I can use that expression. You know, we don't even CYA ourselves here while we're going around claiming to save the world while we're being destroyed right here. The whole thing is just nuts. And I do see, I saw another caller out there. I believe it might be Charlie calling from Ohio, but it looks like he's not ready to speak right now. So Charlie, if you're ready to come on the line, push the button and let me know. But anyway, so isn't this treason? I mean, and I'm thinking the other side of this, too, is the world is watching the United States with this political process we have got going on right now, and we have got to look like the biggest bunch of idiots. And we are nothing but a bunch of sheeple. We've been converted, instead of being a free society, we've been converted to a bunch of sheeple who do as either a political party tells us to do or we're, you know, the politically correct, and we're not going to say anything against Sharia, the Muslims. We don't care that Sharia says it's okay to beat a woman to death and to stone her to death and honor killings. All these other things that are anti-American, anti-Constitution. The whole thing is just nuts.
Well, let's examine some of what you're talking about, because eventually I would think our politicians will do the same thing. They'll practice the Nuremberg syndrome, no different than the media, and they'll say, we were just following orders, and we were just doing what we were told to do, which is a coward's way, because they're cowards now. We can tell they're cowards because they're not defending this country. And along the way, you know, and I don't want to get into the court cases, because that's something that, you know, we have to wait for decisions down the line. But I believe that's not going to be the panacea to resolve America's problems. Unfortunately, like the days of Rome, eventually we have to either stand up and defend this country or have to fall completely, and America that we once knew will be just a footnote in history. So that's something we have to think of. But even if we want to put aside the prayers that the Muslims are doing at the DNC, why isn't the media reflecting and saying, is this a good practice for the Democratic Convention to do when just a couple weeks ago, Marines who invited to Afghan soldiers' homes in Afghanistan for dinner were shot at the table? There was three Marines. Now, this is about two and a half weeks ago this happened. What is the, where is the decency? Where is the respect of these so-called Americans at the DNC to say, hold on, we can't do this. We just had Afghanistan Muslims disguised. Who, these were Afghan soldiers now, and these are Muslims. They invited these three Marines to their home to sit down at the table to eat dinner, and then they assassinated them, which then now they reinvigorated the policy that all soldiers on base must carry weapons, which was idiotic to take away anyway. You know, all soldiers, this is a war. We got to stop pretending we're civilized during a war. Well, you can't have both. You can't be civilized and be in a war at the same time. You just can't do both. That's why we failed in Vietnam. They tried to be civilized. But the common denominator between Vietnam and this is you never really knew who your enemy was. So you always had to be on guard. Of course, the ignorance of politicians interfering with combat have told these people to, you know, be tolerant and all that diversity crapola. And they tell these guys, when you're on base, don't carry weapons. So with this in mind, that three Americans, and there was more since then, but there was three Americans who died at an Afghan soldier's home, Muslim home, eating dinner, and they assassinated them. Did you hear any outcry from the Muslims in America denouncing that? Not one single Muslim stood up to a microphone, and I'm sure the media would have tripped over themselves to hear their words. Not one single Muslim in the United States of America denounced the actions of these Afghan soldiers and their cowardice and their deceit in assassinating these three Marines. Yet they've been invited to the Democratic National Convention. Now, don't tell me, anybody, don't tell me this would not be news. This would be news, especially now lowlifes like Chris Matthews and these other ones get on TV and talk about, well, the one thing that the Republican National Convention forgot to mention was our soldiers who are out there in combat and war. So maybe the DNC isn't forgetting them. They're just humiliating them and embarrassing them by embracing Muslims who refuse to denounce the actions of other Muslims assassinating Americans that we're out there helping and reaching out to. And they probably assassinated Americans with guns we supplied them with taxpayers' money. I mean, this whole thing is absolutely disgusting. And there's not one Democratic representative who's willing to grab the microphone and apologize that they invited Muslims to an American convention, American political practice, while American soldiers are being killed by Muslims. And there's no Muslims in America denouncing the acts. If they want to say these are so-called radicals, then denounce them. You tell me once, since 9/11, I want to hear from anybody, they had a mass parade or demonstration denouncing radical Islam. You will not see that in the history books of America. Not on any streets in America have Muslims gotten together and marched and denouncing radical Islam. They've gotten together and marched, demanding that they build mosques all over the country. But they will not stand up in America and denounce radical Islam. So as far as I'm concerned, if you're not against them, you're with them. And if you're, and your silence is an endorsement of the practices of these so-called radical Islams. So if anybody thinks I'm going to embrace Muslims in America, they're sadly mistaken. They are the enemy of America. And until they show me otherwise, that's how they will remain.
Well, and that's exactly true. And here we are. You know, we're going to be the ones who get called the Islamophobe routine. But it's not that. It's the reality. The reality is it's an invasion that we are opening up the gates for and allowing this invasion to take over, which is destroying the Constitution and is applying Sharia as the form of law. And, I mean, here we even have courts that are allowing Sharia. And it's like, you know, it's not acceptable to kill a girl for dishonoring her family. If you know, I think you were talking earlier about the case of a rape. The girl was raped, and they're killing her, some kind of honor killing. There is no honor in killing. There is no honor. Self-defense is the only time, and, you know, obviously the national defense thing, and when you are, in fact, at war, when you kill. To go and kill a young girl because she was raped, and somehow this dishonors that religious, the whatever you want to call it, cult. You know, that is what Sharia is. People don't seem to get it. Stoning individuals, what we call cruel and unusual punishment in this country, is acceptable to them. And covering the woman's face, she can't be seen in public, and all these other different things, woman's rights. And I think that's the other part that I find so despicable. It's the Democrats out there ranting and raving about women's rights, and Republicans don't want women's rights, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, what do they think Sharia is? Women do not have rights in the Islamic Muslim faith. Do they not understand that? So women who are Democrats who are embracing this crap, they're the ones that are nutso, too. And again, I mean, we're literally letting this country be taken over while Americans just sit on the sidelines like a bunch of idiots.
Well, you know, that's the reality of it, you know. Through rose-colored glasses, they only see what suits their purpose, and then they'll criticize others, at which, in reality, Democrats and Republicans, they're all at fault. But you make an excellent point. Where is America's Now crowd, the National Organization of Women? Where are they? Where are they now? I bet you they're there by the hundreds at the Democratic Convention, but none of them are opening their mouth and saying, what are Muslims doing here? It's the practice of their religion, if you will, and their government to keep women subservient. And they disguise this through various quotes of their Sharia law and such. They want to keep women subservient. And where is the Now crowd? Where are they? Did they run out of bras to burn? You know, this is something we have to reflect on. We have a hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a major rule in the Democratic Party, even more so than Republicans. You know, it's total hypocrisy. And it's despicable. It's despicable that we embrace these people in any way. You want to come to this country and assimilate, that's fine. Do so. But don't come here demanding rights and demanding this, that, and the other under the disguise of religious freedom, because yours is not a religion. Yours is a lifestyle, and a lifestyle that's contradictory to our American Constitution. So America eventually has to stand up, look on the ground, find out where it left its testicles, and reattach them, and tell these people, you're not going to do this in America. You can't do this in America. We will defy you. We will reject you. But we need leaders. That's one of the major problems. We don't have leaders in this country no more. We have cowards who are merely out there for a pursuit of some illusionary power they get through our government, because the citizens, we the people who have the real power, have resigned ourselves to sit and fat, getting fat and lazy and sitting in front of our TVs, and we surrendered all our power to a whole bunch of wannabes who lack any fortitude, any courage, any guts whatsoever to defend this nation. All they care about is their power struggle and who's going to win the day. And that's all these conventions are about, let's face it. Democrat, Republican, this is one big four-day infomercial. That's all it is. They want to feed you their garbage, and it's only a power struggle. Take the different colored suits off, and you find out they're all the same. They're all corrupt. They only care about the power. Every once in a while, they'll throw some breadcrumbs to the people and make us think that we're in control. You know, but the reality is we've surrendered this country to the weak, you know, and we have to regain it. And unfortunately, there may be tragic events that may lead up to what we have to do to either restore this country or totally lose it. That's going to be the decision of the people, but they're going to have to get off their fat rear ends and get back out into the streets of America.
And that is so true. And, you know, in the past, I know you and I have talked about this, but when you try to tell people this, you still have so many Americans that are so ignorant. They've been converted to the sheeple mentality, and they just don't – they think that this can't happen. It's like, well, 9/11 can't happen either, right? You know, people can say, no, that could never happen here. Yes, it could. You're losing your rights. I mean, you've lost half of them already, and you're too stupid to know it. And, I mean, I'm not trying to be cruel, but – you know, the three levels of knowledge, you know, ignorant, dumb, and stupid. Ignorant, okay, you didn't know any better. You're being told. You're being hit with it every day. Your rights are being dwindled down to nothing. You're being converted into a sheeple in every which way. Dumb is you've been converted to a sheeple and you can't figure it out because you just don't have any common sense and can't connect the dots routine. And then just downright stupid is you know it and you sit there and you keep taking it. When are people going to, as you said, grow a pair? And start, Americans start taking this country back. And I don't know. I truly fear. And, you know, this younger crowd and, you know, the hypocrisy. And this is where it really gets confusing, where there's part of me that says I have hope because you got these the younger people who are following the Ron Paul thing who actually want to embrace liberty. And then you have this other what the Republican Party did, and it's been widely reported now. The hypocrisy, that's all one big melting pot. There's no difference between the Democrat and the Republicans and the hypocrisy and the evilness of their ways and what they want. But, you know, here, the Republican Party trashed the delegates that believed in the liberty, the movement of Ron Paul. So you think about that they did this. And they actually blocked the guy, Blackwell, I think is his last name. I have to go look. The guy who was part of the RNC committee, to rules committee, where they were going to change the rules, but the Republicans are changing the rules so that they, whoever the nominee who they think is going to be it, controls who gets nominated. The process is so stupid. So would you Republicans out there, you people who are registered Republicans and think that your vote matters, would you wake up and smell the coffee? They just told you you're stupid, ignorant, you're not going to listen to you. But anyway, they actually blocked this guy. The bus would not drop him off at the convention center so that he could make the argument on the floor to not change the rules. The Republican Party gag ordered their own people, on their own rules committee to do this. And not that this is kind of getting away from the topic of the Sharia law, or Sharia crap, or the Muslim prayer stuff. But the whole point is the Republican Party does the same. Is stupid too, is evil too. This is what the two parties have done to us, and Americans keep embracing the stupid parties. Would you be an American and fight for your country? Would you embrace the Constitution and stand up for your rights? It just is so scary. And when are we going to hold these people in public office accountable and take them to task for treason? Because what they're doing is treasonous to me. It really is. Or am I exaggerating that?
Absolutely not. You're not exaggerating that. And you're not being cruel when you're telling people they're stupid, they're idiots. You know, they will not listen if you try to be calm and you try to give them factual information. You try to give them statistics. You try to give them data and say, here's what's going on. Look, here are the facts. They don't want to hear it. As long as nobody's knocking on their door and taking their remote away, or tow trucking their SUV out of their driveway, or denying them their personal little greedy rights, you know, of staying fat and lazy, they don't care. They don't care. As long as they're satisfied within the bubble of their home, because that's most people live within that bubble first. And as long as nobody's bursting that bubble, if you will, they're satisfied, they're happy. And they don't care. They don't want to know. Try to think back to people you try to talk about politics and they say, oh, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And there's a lot of people out there that just don't want to know. So sometimes you have to practice tough love. And it's got to be harsh reality. And sometimes it's like the slap in the face to some people to shock them back into reality. That's what you have to do. So you're not being cruel. You got to tell people you've been stupid. You've been idiotic. You've been lazy. You've been apathetic. Look around you. America is dissolving. America is dying. Uncle Sam, as you well know, is in his wheelchair. And he can't even get still. stimulus money for a hover round. But be that as it may, Uncle Sam is definitely in his wheelchair. There's no doubt about it. He's been handicapped by people who want to oppress the very life of our Constitution. And it'll be people like you and others who will demand and yell at people and say, stop, look around. You know, let's not wait till they come into our homes and take our things away, take our kids away to teach them religion. You know, and these are frightening things. And like the brief story you talked about before, this goes on in all these Islam countries and in America too, where I believe there was a story, and I forgot which state it was in, and the father killed the daughter because she got raped. He said it brought dishonor to the family. So he kills his daughter. He doesn't go off with a rapist because their cult is a male-dominated cult. You can't have a religion that's male-dominated, because if it's a religion of equality, then all should be respected the same. This is a cult where the men dominate, and how they exercise their domination is when they don't have the courage to say, I'm just a mean, cruel SOB, they just say, oh, but I'm just practicing the rule of law, Islam, Sharia. You know, and they throw stuff at people who don't even know what they're talking about, and they don't even know what they're talking about. I'm sure the Sharia law and the books of Sharia have been ad-libbed along the way. But, and to the respect of everything, from what I understand, this honor killing stuff is not necessarily written in Sharia law, but in my opinion, it's a derivative of the male domination that comes out of Sharia law. So, you know, and let's be fair where fairness needs to be applied. It's not necessarily written in there, but men have gotten away with this. Fathers have gotten away with this for hundreds of years in this practice. And from what I understand, and I'd have to go back and research it once again, a judge, an American judge, allowed the father to use the defense of Sharia law in attacking his daughter. And I believe the judge said that would be an allowable defense. Now, that, once again, is contradictory to our Constitution. You can't not hide behind this. They are using this Muslim religion, whatever they want to call it, they're using this as a shield to protect themselves along the way as the male-dominated society that they are and the controlling society they want to be even in this country. So it's a despicable practice. It's a despicable cult, whatever they wish to call it. I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and play Mr. Tolerance and Diversity and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. I'm not going to do that because the very survival of my country is hanging on a cliff right now, a cliff of overall apathy that this country has generated.
But how can these judges even do this? That's the other part. It seems like it's so massive, and it's like, for a judge to say that it's okay to do this in this country, how can they? I don't see how they can to live with themselves. I don't see how they can in any way, shape, or form accept something as crazy as that in this country. How can this be? That's when you got to look around and say, what are we at? Is this America? This doesn't seem like the United States of America anymore.
Well, this was a father who came from his country where this is an accepted practice. So, in other words, he was claiming ignorance of the American way and practicing what he's used to seeing and what happens constantly in these countries. These are archaic caveman-style practices where you kill a woman because she got raped, and they still put women in the middle of a square if they committed adultery and have them stoned by bystanders and the neighborhood. I mean, this is caveman stuff. My goodness. And this is allowed, and this is what we're going to allow in this country? Let me just conclude, because I have to go, but I want to say one more thing, because today is Labor Day, and we have to accept and realize the reality of life in this country. It is the working middle class that has and will always defend this country, not these illusionary idiots who think they're some sort of governmental aristocracy. They're not the ones that defend this country. It's America's working class that built this country, have died for this country, defend this country in the past, and defend it now. So any of these media and these illusionary idiots who think they're in control will have to eventually look towards the working class people as this country crumbles before them. The mass media is going to turn and say, who's going to go out there and defend it? It won't be the Harry Reids or the Nancy Pelosi's. They'll be too busy jumping in military jets trying to find a place to hide. It's going to be the working class people. It has always been the working class people. When somebody tried to tear this country down, it was the working class people that built it up, not these idiots that we've elected and authorized some of our governmental powers to practice. It's not going to be them. They lack the ability. And so the media better wake up, and they better find out who is going to be their only and true patriotic friend when the crapola hits the fan, if you will. It's going to be the working class people. So we ought to celebrate Labor Day today even more lovingly and more affectionately than ever before, because the solution to all this, as I said before to other people, don't look to your politicians for answers. Look to your left, to your neighbor on your left, and look to your neighbor on your right, because they're working class people like you, and they're the ones with the answer. They're the ones who are going to defend this country, and if they decide now's the time, they're going to restore this country. So today should be a very special Labor Day celebration, more so than any other time in America's history, because the answer lies with the working class people. And that's about all I have to say about it. I'm extremely frustrated and disgusting what this country's come to. I've seen it over the decades, and I'm just watching the deterioration. It's like watching a slow death, you know, and feeling helpless sometimes, wishing you could do something. But to all the good people listening out there, you know, pay attention to what's going on around you. Get out of that bubble, you know, and get to find out. If you're one of the working class, you know who you are. I don't have to define it. You know what you can do. You know that not only can you think about building America, but you can build America. That's the difference. So, anyway, Sally, appreciate the time. And I hope Charlie switches over to listen and get in there and fill some verbiage around. So,
Well, thank you for calling in, and it's so true, and Americans better wake up and smell the coffee before it's too late, and we do have the power, but we're never going to get it if all we do is sit there and watch the Super Bowl or whatever on TV. We've got to get involved and do something.
That's it. You'll get 10 people to go to a public hearing about protecting their neighborhood from crime and drugs and such. And you'll get 20,000 to go watch a NFL preseason game. But it's not even a real game. It's just a practice. It's a preseason. It's not even a real game. Even if you love the game so much, you know, face the reality. It's fake. It's even more fake than the other games. It's just a practice. But yet people are buying tickets, going in, you know, no time to go help clean up my neighborhood. But I got lots of time to go, you know, and watch some guys practice. You know, it's a shame. It's truly a shame. In my opinion, sports and other entertainment outlets have become part of the tools of brainwash. It's about the most easiest way to control people. Where else are you going to voluntarily get 40, 50,000 people to get in one group and brainwash them for a few hours? You know, it's an amazing instrument. And, you know, what I used to think was entertainment has now become an instrument of brainwashing and control. And we have to think about that, too, you know. That may be one of the original, if you will, Agenda 21 tools or instruments of control, you know, was entertainment, when they realized how easy it was to control people. I mean, you know, when you got preseason football in August, my God, it's supposed to be a winter game. You know, and you got preseason football in August. I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, and because why? Because it controls people. You know, it groups people up. You know, and it's a way to draw money out of people and control their very habits, sad as that may be.
Yeah, that is so true. And they talk about the mass of destruction. Look at what money people will spend, big bucks to go see people run around. And I ask people, it's like, well, for every 1 hour that you spend watching some kind of pro sports game or paying every dollar you pay for that, how much time did you spend reading the Constitution with your kid, talking to your kid about what life is about, protecting your rights and believing what this country stands for? But, you know, they don't care about that. And it's like, well, okay, well, can you survive without football? And, of course, I've said it here in Orlando plenty of times. We can survive without the stupid magic basketball team. I wish they'd take a flying leap. I keep having to pay crap for them. But you know, we can live without pro sports. Do you want to live without a constitution? It's halfway trash now. But it's like, what is truly more important to you people, watching a stupid football game or protecting your rights? And the answer isn't always what I want to hear.
Well, you know, there was a study that came out a few years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, in Orlando, because everyone was concerned about losing the magic and stuff like that. It may have been a little longer, maybe 6, 7 years ago. It was a study that came out, and I think it may have applied nationally, that if there was no sports team in your city, because that's the big thrust, you know, got to have a team, we won't survive. And the study reported that if there's no sports team, it will not affect the economy whatsoever, because those same people that are not going to that sports arena are going somewhere else in that city spending the same money. And the study showed that the people will still go out there and spend the money. So you don't need a sports team for a city to survive. People will go other places. You know, they'll go to the movies, or more so than they would, instead of going to a football game or a baseball game, or a basketball, whatever the case may be. They'll go to the movies, they'll go to dinner, they'll go to some other entertainment, they'll go bowling. They're going to spend the money anyway. That's what the study showed, that there is no residual detriment to not having a sports team in your city. And you know, the thrust of Orlando is to be a quote-unquote major city, you know, and they think one of the hang tags, if you will, for being a major city is having a national sports team like the Magic or a national baseball or football team. And yet the study shows we don't need that. We will still draw the same tax revenue. People will just spend the money somewhere else.
Well, and the stupid part is we have to pay billions of dollars to build these stupid arenas for them to play in, so my property taxes go up so they can have a stupid team here. And the other part that is so stupid, when you talk about Orlando here, is we've got Disney and Universal Studios and all this other stuff. We've got plenty of attractions. You don't need a stupid basketball team or a football team, which is why they don't do good anyway. When you come to Orlando, are you going to come here because of a stupid basketball team? Or are you going to come here because of everything else? We weren't created. This wasn't a tourist attraction because of the Orlando Magic. Far from it. But it's just a stupid way to waste taxpayer money, welfare for billionaires routine. But anyway, that's kind of getting off topic. But it just annoys the crap out of me. But the mentality, this is what people, you know, are brainwashed into believing, too. It's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah. That's all it is. And a final note to both the Republicans and the Democrats, could you please stop saying, when you identify your state at these conventions, stop saying the great state of Florida or the great state of Idaho or the great state of Nebraska. If every state in this country, all 50 of them, or 57 if you're counting the ones Obama counts, if all 50 states were so great, why is this country in such despair? I'm sick and tired of we falsely labeling ourselves as great. Every state is great. I know that may be a practice from once upon a time, but let's throw just a little tint of reality into these conventions. Say the fair state or the happy state, but don't say great because you're not great. When you allow your country to deteriorate and fall apart at your feet, don't dare get up there and say the great state of whatever and identify yourself, because you can't have 50 great states and a poor country. It doesn't add up. Do the math, people. Anyway, thanks a lot, Sally, and have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Tom. Good info. Okay, well, on that note, and kind of as Tom was talking about the great state routine, actually, I think that's kind of interesting, too, because, you know, for a state to be great, that would mean they're not dependent on the federal government for everything and that they actually had state sovereignty. So I would say if your state has true sovereignty and that you're not truly hooked to the federal government for anything except like national defense, which is what they're supposed to do in some of these types of things here, not hooked to the federal government for education and all these other kind of things, then you might be considered a great state. But that's definitely not Florida. And, you know, I was born and raised here in Orlando, and I have no desire to stay in the Orlando area or in the state of Florida as far as that goes. But Florida is one of the few states that does not have a state income tax, but they charge you taxes on everything else. So I wouldn't get carried away of believing it's a low-tax state because it's not as low-tax as people might think it is because of the other things they do. But anyway, getting back to the topic here, the whole thing is we have been, you know, we're being taken over. The United States is falling. The collapse of the United States, even if you take down, ignore what's happening with the economy, what's happening to our dollar, what's happening in the fiscal sense, which is a whole other issue. But we as a society, as a free society, as a culture, are dying. And we Americans, people like myself who truly believe in liberty and freedom, I try to do what I can. I'm out here protesting it. I'm trying to hold these morons in public office accountable for what they do, trying to take them to court, trying to do something to stop the craziness of what's happening. But way too many Americans are not doing that. Way too many Americans are sitting on the sidelines and just waiting and seeing what, or being totally naive. And I see some young people out there, and it's like, you know, just wait until you don't have the access to that cell phone. Just wait till they tell you where you can live. And instead of living in that nice air-conditioned home that you're used to here in Florida, you're going to be living in what I would call more of a compound, controlled housing, Section 8 housing, apartment building, where they're going to say, okay, here's where you're going to be assigned. You're not going to choose to live there. They're going to assign you there. And, by the way, you can't have air conditioning because that's not sustainable, you know. Excuse me, that isn't what we believe. And also, you know, women, you're not going to be able to dress the way you dress today. Yeah, those short skirts and shorts up, nope, you're going to be wearing all this other garb that totally covers you up, which will not be fun in Florida with the heat and those kind of things. So you're not going to have that freedom to go dress the way you want to. They're going to determine what is correct for you. What they're going to determine what's allowed on the market. Your freedom in every respect is going to be taken away. And we had the situation where they arrested a Marine because they took a Marine into custody because they didn't like the fact that he opposed something the government was doing on Facebook, and then tried to commit him as mentally ill and tried to put him under psychiatric drugs to control the fact that he did not like what the government was doing. This is what's happening to this country. This is real. And this mess that's going on, the DNC to say Sharia is better than the Constitution. They're going to embrace Muslim Islamic activity over Christian culture of this country, over the freedom that you get from the Constitution, over a free society as we were founded to be. It's so despicable. And the ignorance of people, combination of ignorance, like I said, it's more important to go watch that football game. You can go out there. How many people could you go out there and ask at any given point in time, quarterbacks on, you know, 10, 15 of the football teams, whatever, they can ramble those all on and tell you who all's playing and what position they're in and this and that and whatever. But if you ask them who the vice president is, they probably don't know. If they have a clue what NDAA is, they have a clue what Agenda 21 is, they have a clue what ICLEI is, these various things that are impacting their very rights to be able to do come and go and watch a football game. I have a feeling football is going to be outlawed too, people, by the way. I don't think football is sustainable, even though, of course, if you want to get your brain crushed in, that's an option, I guess. I don't know. But it's a sad state of affairs. We are in bad shape, and And I unfortunately I don't see with what I see what I saw happen with the Republican National Convention and what's happening with the Democrat National Convention. When people have got to say no to the political parties, do you not understand the political parties are the poison? They are the ones that promote this garbage. It's just it's a very, very sad state of affairs. Well, tonight, if you want to call in, feel free to 347-857-4364. 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to be placed on the air, and we know that you want to talk that way. I know with it being Labor Day that it's a little bit slow out there. People are doing other things and having some fun out there, which is good. So it's and, of course, those of you who are in Charlotte right now, I have to say the other thing when it comes to the coverage of the media that I see. I mean, I have never seen people act so goofy. I mean, you would think they were celebrating these conventions like this was some gigantic pep rally. And I mean, is that truly what our government has come to? We're here. We're electing a president should be something a little bit serious. It shouldn't be this hoopla about how wonderful it is to have a party and have 10 million balloons fall from the ceiling and have confetti all over the place. And, of course, and in the case of both of these parties, whether it be the Republican or the Democrat, the Republican Party did not care what the Republican voter wanted. They said it's going to be Romney. That's what it is. That's why they played all the games with the rules. That's why the teleprompter told Boehner what the rule was going to be before they ever took a vote and all these other sort of things, which makes it a very evil, corrupt party. That was what they did. And over on the other side, I guarantee you there were other people who would have run or did run for the Democrat nomination for presidency. But the Democrat Party wouldn't let anybody else do it either. They will always embrace whoever the incumbent is. That's the only one they'll talk about. That's the only one they'll listen to. So if you were out there as a Democrat wanting to run for president against Obama, you did not have a prayer, literally did not have a chance, because the parties corrupt the process. And, you know, you may have had somebody who was absolutely wonderful to be the Democrat president who could run Democrat nominee for president, but you didn't have a chance. You had no rights. The party told you, the sheeple, who they were going to have out there. And it's really just that simple. At some point, Americans truly have to grow up here, kind of what Tom was saying, and decide, if you're convinced that, if you think this is good, if you think America's on the right path in any respect, whether that be the economy, foreign policy, the Constitution, your personal liberties, one world government, if you think this is all right, then fine, you know, you're going to be happy in the future, or you think you will be. But for those of us who actually believe in what this country was founded on, those of us who believe in the Constitution, who believe in personal liberty and personal rights and personal choice and personal responsibility, then you better start waking up and taking action to protect this country. Because it's the morons in D.C. aren't going to do it. Do not for a minute think they are going to do it. If we don't have a massive takeover of this federal government and your state governments too, it's over. It truly is over. You must understand that. And there's no exaggeration to that. People want to say it's an exaggeration or being overly dramatic, whatever. It's a fact, people. The fall of the Roman Empire. Have you heard of it? And now we are at the crossroads, the fall of the United States Empire. That is where we are. And if you insist on promoting the same crap, insist on watching a stupid football game instead of getting involved in what's happening in your community. And when I say a stupid football game, I mean a stupid baseball game, a stupid NBA game, blah, blah, blah. If you're more focused on sports than your country, your constitution, your state, your community, then it really doesn't matter. You've already been converted to a sheeple, and you have no clue what's going on. Here we're at the top of the hour. Let's see. I see we've got a couple of guests out there in the chat room, but they're not putting any questions out there. So for those of you out there in the chat room, feel free to put a question in there, whatever you'd like to talk about. Call in 347-857-4364. Press 1 to speak on the air. But since we are talking about religion, what's going on with the DNC, how they believe it's better to embrace Sharia and to trash the Constitution, and that they should have a two-hour prayer for the Muslims and ignore the Christians of this country, which is exactly what they have done today. I'm going to go ahead and go back to a little bit of stuff with good old George Washington. Some people are probably sick of hearing me talk about George Washington and his farewell address, but every time I read it, I see something else about it, and I'm going to go into a little bit about what he has on religion. Because there are those who try to say that George Washington did not believe in God and things like that, which is totally untrue. Totally untrue. All you have to do is read his farewell address and see that he detested the political parties and said they would destroy us, which is what they've done, and also that we must have a religious morality. So I'm going to read this one part. This is item 27 of his farewell address. Of all of the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, the firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, and I love the way he says, the mere politician, equally to the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them. A volume could not trace all of their connections with private and public philosophy. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life? If the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths, which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Religious principle. So when we talk religious principle, where do we talk? How does that fit in with the Muslim Islamic faith? What does that really mean? Because right now, if you truly believe in Islam, and you are going to uphold that belief, then you don't believe in the Constitution, and you don't believe in Christianity. And Christianity is definitely what this country was founded on. Thou shalt not kill. The stoning of an individual is not acceptable through Christianity. The killing a woman because of having been raped or unloyal, disloyal, is not an excuse to kill the woman. So it's very, very interesting. And George Washington was definitely very much a religious person, and he believed we would not survive without a moral ground. If we do not have any faith, if we do not have moral value, which we get from religion. So I believe that is it's something that we definitely need to think about as we go through this process. There's quite a bit here, but I'm not going to go through the other part. The main thing, and again, that last line that he has in here, whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason, and experience, both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. So when we say religious principle, where does that leave us? Where are we in forms of what is happening right now? Are we going to surrender the rights of Christianity to Islam? Because that's what's happening. And, you know, if you're a Christian, you're not allowed to. Can you imagine if a Christian group was going to have a two-hour prayer at either the Republican National Convention or the Democrat National Convention? That wouldn't be allowed. But yet, when it's the other way around, we bend over to supposedly allow these others to have their rights. And it goes to the fact that the same thing that makes you strong can also make you weak. We believe in a free society, yet are we going to allow those who don't believe, because of this openness of this society, are we going to allow others to come in and take over? Because that's what we're doing. We have literally just held the door open and said, okay, you come in, you take over. You know, it's politically incorrect to say anything wrong. It's politically incorrect to say that Obama is a Muslim, even though he himself says he is. It's politically incorrect to do anything about it. Say, wait a minute, why do we have a constitution? What happened to the rule of law? Do we not have the rule of law in this country? And truly, we don't. When they can go and arrest a Marine, detain them, and try to put them into some kind of loony bin because they disagree or oppose the actions of this government, we truly are no longer exist. What more does it take to realize that we don't exist, that the United States of America has fallen? When the people have no right to oppose the actions of this government. And that's where we're at. I don't think people realize how that really is the reality today. Who would have ever thought that could happen? I know I didn't. I mean, and I still come up and say, is this the United States of America? You have no rights. The rights are just dwindled. And what I saw happen at the Republican National Convention and what's going on with the Democrat National Convention right now as we speak is also despicable. Let me see. There was something else here on this Muslim thing I was going to read. Like I was saying earlier, the one article is Islamist to open DNC with prayer for Sharia to replace U.S. Constitution. This is on westernjournalism.com. Westernjournalism.com is where that article was at. So please take a look at it. And then we have the American Muslim. This is another group, and it's called BIMA, Bureau of Indigenous Muslim Affairs, BIMA, B-I-M-A, as a nonprofit organization, is designed to serve and facilitate the efforts of the Islamic organization and institutions in their endeavors, whatever their endeavors are here, as well as spread awareness about indigenous Muslim issues. BIMA, is headquartered in Newark, New Jersey, and also operates a resource center in Brooklyn, New York. Okay. And BIMA also provides numerous services to the Muslim community and supports groups in the areas of education, counseling, and social services. Now, what do you think that means? How are they supporting the Muslim community? And also, I find it interesting about the headquarters in Newark, New Jersey, because apparently Governor Christie is pretty much pro-Muslim, too. He would trash the Christian society or Christian group in support of Muslims having rights to do whatever they feel like doing, even if I guess that supports the Sharia stuff, too. So I saw something on that saying, you know, be aware of what Christie is, which I think is kind of funny. Governor Christie, many of us fiscal conservatives out here have found it interesting to listen to him and how he went after the teachers' unions and this and that, and how he's fought to get his state back into fiscal order and that type of thing, which is all good, you know, fiscal accountability, fiscal. But when it comes to anything else, there's nothing else truly conservative about Governor Christie. And I find that so interesting because, again, it shows the hypocrisy of the Republican Party. Because he truly is more liberal than he is that. He's a fiscal conservative, but liberal in every other respect. And he would, be out there beating the drums for the rights of the Islamic, the Muslim community, at the detriment to the Christian community. And I don't have the article in front of me. If anybody remembers reading up on that, what he did, how he pretty much trashed the Christianity for the Muslims, please call in and share that with us, because I did have something on that a couple weeks back, see what that was about. And once again, I'm checking back out in the chat room. Okay, you guys, go ahead and tell me what you want to talk about. I don't see anything happening. Sometimes that chat room gets really busy out there, and sometimes, it's Labor Day, so I think everybody's taking the day off, and who knows, we may wrap up the show a little bit early, too, if we don't get some people wanting to talk here. Talk about what's going on. I mentioned earlier about going to the Freedom from the UN rally. This is Saturday, October 20th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Tallahassee, Florida. And this is on the front lawn of the old Capitol building. And let our legislators know, legislators, hear our demands to rid Florida of UN Agenda 21. That's what it's going to be about. Chris Ann Hall is going to be one of the speakers. Alex Snitker is going to be there. Victoria Jackson is going to be there. This will be kind of interesting because I know Victoria Jackson. I loved watching her when she was on Saturday Night Live. And she gets on the political stuff pretty good, so I like to see what she's going to say. Karen Schoen's going to be there as well. There's going to be a lot of people there, and I'm going to be attending it. So I'm going to make sure I'm there because we've got to send a very loud message to Tallahassee that we believe in state sovereignty, we believe in the Constitution, and we believe in our rights to not be part of United Nations. We have our own rights. We are sovereign. We are a sovereign nation. We are a sovereign state. And we are not going to simply cave in and do as we are dictated to by the United Nations. And let's see. And on that same note, I haven't read it in a while, but I'll go ahead and put it out there. The Americans' Creed, in case you are not familiar with it, The Americans' Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and their fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. This was written by William Tyler Page in 1917, was accepted by the United States House of Representatives on April 3rd of 1918. And you're more than welcome to go look it up out there in the historical documents. But we need to remember that's what it's about. And we need for Americans to actually stand up and be counted. We need to say we're not going to take it anymore. We are not going to take the garbage from the two political parties. We are not going to take the treasonous actions of a government in Washington, D.C. If we do not do this, it's going to be all over. It's going to be, we're going to be part of the United Nations. Can you imagine that? Part of the United Nations. Myself, I do not want to be that. Let's see here. I'm trying to think of what else I was going to cover tonight. Some people were asking about the complaint. And unfortunately, since Charlie is not available tonight, it looked like he may have tried to call in at one point but had to drop off. Since he is not available tonight, I will hold off on giving any update on that. Just understand that the process... it is messy. You have to know that they're going to push back. They don't want to do anything. The courts and the whole process, we have corruption at all different levels, and they're going to force, we have to do it right. We have to go with every single opposition that they can possibly come up with. But we are not going to give up on this. And I do ask people who want to join the lawsuit to go to change.org, and you can look up the petition. It's called Congress is not above the law. Congress is not above the law. And sign on to it. We've got about 50 people out there on that petition. Then I also have people signed up under Restore the Republic. I think we've got about 20 people over there. So we're getting a group of people who are interested in being part of the solution. We cannot run away. We cannot be afraid to challenge their actions in a court of law. Again, are we not a country of law? What happened to the rule of law? And are we going to say that Congress is above the law? No. Nobility. They do not have nobility, even though that's what they try to say. And for those of you out there, long time ago, years ago, I stopped calling these people honorable. I think it's outrageous to think that we should address any person in public office as the honorable so-and-so, the honorable this, the honorable... they are citizens. They are not nobility. They are not royalty. citizen representation, a government of the citizens, is what we are supposed to be about, not this other. So I do not address any of them as honorable. And the fact of the matter is, very few of them even have my respect. But that's a whole other story. So I do not call them honorable. It is Congresswoman, Congressman, Representative, Senator, whatever. I will address them that way, but I do not say the honorable. I could not say the Honorable Marco Rubio even if I wanted to. It would make me puke. I could not say the Honorable Mr. Senator Reed out there. It would make me puke. Or, of course, my favorite, the dishonorable. I could say dishonorable John Micah, who makes me want to puke out there, too. So do not call these people honorable. They are individuals who were given, elected to do the people's work, administer the business of the people. They were not there to go make yourselves rich, whining and dining their friends, which is what they have done. They have totally violated their oath of office. They have totally violated their fiduciary duties to the people. And half the time, as I said earlier with Tom Pastore on the show, I believe a lot of what they do is treasonous. Is it not treasonous to not protect this country? How come these people are still in office? We have got to go after them in the court of law. I am not out there seeking a bloodshed, blood-filled revolution. I want a peaceful revolution to take back our country, to take back our rights, to restore our liberties as were granted to us through the Constitution. And that's not going to happen with the same people in office today. Excuse me. Because most of them do not believe in the Constitution. How many of them don't believe in the Constitution? So we have got to take it back. And the only way, peacefully, that I see to do that is through the court of law. So people must, and I mean, people are going to say, well, that's what elections are for, yeah. Well, the elections only matter if they're honest. And does anybody believe the elections that we have in this country are honest? I mean, I think it's the hypocrisy of the American people to go around and be complaining about corruption of other elections around the world and that kind of thing, when in fact our own elections are so corrupt. They are corrupt. And that's why we have the other complaint, the FBI complaint that we filed, We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment, which I think hopefully people will continue to call the FBI office and check on it and see what's going on, because they have absolutely refused to give us any response. Call Special Agent Matt Oliver. Special Agent Matt Oliver, and the phone number is 407-875-9976. 407-875-9976. Call him and ask him what's the status of the complaint, We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment, and see what he says. See what kind of response you get. Write them a letter. Send them emails. Send them faxes. Do whatever. And let's see if I get the street address on this one here. The street address is 850 Traveliger. It's a kind of a weird name, Court. And it's TRAFALGAR. TRAFALGAR Court, Suite 400, Maitland, Florida, which is MAITLAND. Maitland, Florida, 32751. So anyway, contact the FBI and to find out what they're doing with that complaint of ours. Since they haven't told us that they weren't doing anything, but they haven't told us that they are either. They haven't said anything one way or the other. And let's see, what else? Like I said, tonight may be a short night since it's kind of slow out there right now. And I don't even see Ms. Texas out there. She's usually out there by now. But it is Labor Day weekend. People are busy doing other things today. And, of course, we have this wonderful Democrat National Convention going on. Let's see. I'm going to check on one other thing real quick here. See if there's any other updates to give you for right now. The other Obama campaign will hold Muslim Juma at DNC, but won't let Catholic Cardinal lead prayer. And that is at thegatewaypundit.com. You can find that. And then, again, to join the lawsuit, Congress is not above the law. go to change.org, it's a petition site, and just look for Congress is not above the law, and you can find it there. And we will be giving you more updates on that. We need people to help with research, and we need everybody to file the cases in their own district. We have got to send this message. Now, because obviously it's not free to file a complaint, but we do need to do this. And if it's the more we do it, the more people that file the complaint, the more we have a chance of making something happen to it. And be part of a class action suit in your own community, be part of the class action suit with us, whichever way you want to do it, but be part of it and don't let this don't let them get away with it. It's not right what they're doing. And, of course, the complaint I'm talking about, for those of you who haven't been following, we've got a complaint out there demanding that the complaint is that Congress has violated their fiduciary duties and their oath of office by failing to pass a budget. They do have an obligation to pass a budget. That's what the Constitution says. And, excuse me, Harry Reid is abusing his authority by not allowing it to come to the floor, but while Harry Reid is the one who's causing the problems, they passed the budget in the House of Representatives, but the Senate has not done it because of Harry Reid. It is up to them to demand that he do it, to take actions against him, because what he is doing is violating his fiduciary duty and the oath of office to take care of the people's business. We, the people, have a right to have a budget passed. There's other groups that are out there doing different things to fight for this. We were taking it to court. So there's no reason why you, the individual, can't take it to court in your community as well. And we need, the more people that do it, the better chance we have. I would like to coordinate a date when everybody would go file it the same day. But we have to get everybody together and see what day would work for everybody to do that. We need to make a very loud statement. We cannot be quiet or passive on this issue. But this is only one. People need to do the same thing for the failure to secure the borders. One of the most critical things of our national government, the federal government, is to national security. And they fail at it terribly. They have allowed terrorists and everybody else to come in over that southern border and all borders, not just that. They've allowed those who enter this country legally to stay here illegally. So it's multiple things that are happening. It's not just one form of illegal immigration or one form of national security that has been violated. So we have got to go after them for those things, too. Amnesty. It is not proper for them to go and be granting amnesty because, that again, it's an illegal invasion. To keep giving amnesty to anybody and everybody who happens to be here is not correct. That is a violation of their oath of office. They violate national security when they say anybody who comes here can stay here. That's not correct either. And then, of course, going after them for violating the individual rights, the NDAA, selling our rights off to the United Nations. These are all things that are violations of their fiduciary duties and their oath of office. They are destroying the freedom of actions, destroying this country, and people must oppose it. We've got to stop it. That's all there is to it. Okay. And what else? There was something else in here I was going to share. Let me go back to my email and see if I can find it. How the Council on Foreign Relations controls conservative Republicans. This is another thing. And this is all tied into Agenda 21 stuff, people. We've got to put an end to this kind of stuff. The Council on Foreign Relations controls conservative Republicans. Well, first off, I think it's kind of funny that you have to say conservative Republicans. Because at one point, Republicans were supposed to be conservative. That was supposed to be what their platform was. But now you have to go and actually distinguish what is a Republican, because you really can't tell anymore. Most of the Republicans and Democrats all kind of look the same. Let's see if I can see. Someone will send it. Okay, I know someone would be outraged by this. I want them to know that the old right isn't buying his thesis that Obama's agenda is somewhat uniquely wrong because it's anti-colonistic. Obama is a defender of the American Empire, as Bush was. His agenda is that of one of the factions of the Council on Foreign Relations. Council on Foreign Relations. He is not in bed with the neocons, meaning big on Israel. The dominant foreign policy objectives of the CFR were pro-oil and therefore pro-Arab long before 1948, let alone the 1960s when the neocons showed up. Okay, this is an article, The Tea Party Economist, it's by Gary North. And let's see here. Okay. Let's see. The only exception to vetting process over the last 80 years was Barry Goldwater when he got the nomination. The eastern wing of the Republican Party walked out of the convention and would not provide the money to let him win. The media turned against him overwhelmingly. The Council on Foreign Relations members understood exactly what he meant in terms of a threat to them, and they torpedoed his campaign. See, Barry Goldwater was also a very true, really more libertarian, a liberty person, believing in the Constitution. And so the Republican Party rejects those people. They do what they can to stop them. And that was irrelevant to him. It was equally irrelevant to them today whether Obama wins or loses. He is expendable. So is Romney. That, I think, is so interesting, the games that are being played. Ronald Reagan also seems to be an exception. He was one case in which the elite really did have trouble suppressing his candidacy. He was too good with the media, and he had already proven twice that he could win in California. There was no real leaders in the Republican Party in the early 1980s. Okay. And then Reagan trounced George Bush in the primaries. Well, we all know about that. And naive conservatives. Naive conservatives. This is why any attempt to warn conservatives about the latest Republican Party presidential campaign is always regarded by them as an attack from the left. That's the truth. You can't wake up these Republicans that are so brainwashed by the party politics. They think of themselves as being on the far right, and they cannot abide by any criticism based on the history of Republican politics, basic economics, CFR influence, or anything else. They just assume that the criticism has come from somebody on the left because they have been trained to think that the national conservatives within the Republican Party leadership do not share with Democrat liberals the same background, ideology, social networks, and screening. They are outraged by criticism. Why? Because they perceive that such criticism has unstated implications. They have been taken in. No one wants to hear this. So that's I think sums up really good with the. Oh, here we go. My computer's flipping out on me now. Okay. See if I can get my computer back here. Sorry about that. Okay. The standard Republican conservative, being ignorant of the history of American foreign policy since 1947, is blissfully unaware of this. Here is an example that I received from one subscriber. I am deeply offended by your liberal mafia remarks. Your opinions are far from fact, and in fact are BS, right out of the liberal handbook. Sickening, misleading, untruthful, and disgusting. America is not stupid as you seem to think. Look in the mirror. Well, that's kind of funny after some of the things we were just talking about here earlier on the show. If you were in the chat room, you're not there anymore. Okay. As I said, I'm having some problems with my computer here. Okay, I think on that note, since tonight has been somewhat of a quiet night, I think we will go ahead and cut the show a little bit short tonight. Hopefully everybody has had a very nice and safe Labor Day. Charlie, I hope you and your girlfriend are doing okay. Our prayers are with you. And hopefully you will be rejoining us shortly or in the very near future. And as we were saying here, may God bless the USA. May God bless and protect the USA. That will only happen when the American people stand up and be counted, when the American people defend the Constitution. defend the liberty. We are in a very, very serious state of decline in every level. Our fiscal policy, our foreign policy, our Constitution is being destroyed by those that we elected. The political process is so corrupt that we truly don't have representation of our choice. So we need to all be engaged, please. It's not that I don't like pro sports. I used to watch them all the time. But you do have to set your priorities. At what point do we say what's more important? At what point do we say we need to stand up for what principles? That playing a game, watching a game of football or baseball or basketball or whatever it may be, soccer or whatever, we have to be principled. We have to say, is it really more important to watch a football game, or is it more important to have the right to own a home? The part of the Agenda 21, this one world order, a new world order that George Bush Sr. pushed on us many years ago and has continued to be pushed through the various other presidencies along the way, you are not allowed to own property. You have no rights. You are an animal. You will be treated as such, and there will be the redistribution of wealth. So the fact that you were out there working 2 or 3 jobs to buy a home, that won't matter. They will take away what's from you to give to others, the redistribution of wealth. They will say you do not have the right to own a home. You do not have the right to have air conditioning. You do not have the right to own your own automobile. That is what's coming. And part of it is this mentality to embrace, to allow Islam and this Muslim faction to come in and take over, because that's part of it too, where the individual has no rights. There is no individual rights. That's what's happening to us. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up for now, for tonight, since I'm having some technical difficulties. And it's a quiet night out there. Everybody is busy with the holiday. But please, please take ownership of your country. Please honor the American's creed. Please be an American. Abandon the political parties. Tell them to get lost. Is it more important to be an American or to be a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian or anything else? Please be Americans. If Americans come together and unite, we will save this country. If it's going to be the Democrats against the Republicans, the country falls. And it's that simple. The country falls. And if you're given your, if you give any true belief that either one of these groups are going to save you, save this country, you are so, so sadly mistaken. They are not going to save you. They are not going to protect this country. And on that note, one last reminder, please mark your calendar. Saturday, October 20th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., please, please be in Tallahassee, Florida for the Freedom from the UN rally, Freedom from the United Nations rally. We shouldn't even have to be thinking about getting our freedom from the United Nations, but we do. So please be there. I'm definitely going to be there. American Statesman Blog Talk Radio will be there. Chris Ann Hall is going to be there. Alex Snitker is going to be there. Harry McKay, Victoria Jackson, Karen Schoen, Carolyn Gray, Jeff Ross, and a few others are going to be there. So please be there. Send a loud message to the Gang of Thugs of Tallahassee, Florida. We want our sovereignty, and we want it now. Get us out of ICWI and anything to do with Agenda 21, United Nations. And as I said a minute ago, we're going to call it an early night tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Please tune in on Thursday. And may God bless and protect the USA. Good night.